Dee, and there's some great crowds. I've just been looking at the crowds here. The Sunderland Derby, 475. Jarrow Bolden, over 500 there. Crook Shildon yesterday, 717. The Billingham Derby, 758. There was 500 at Towlow versus Wrighton, nearly 600 at Blue Star, 770 Easington Hawden, and there's crowds generally of 600, 500, 500. So it's been a great success, and well done to the Northern League, and some great matches as well over the weekend.
Yeah, some excellent attendances, and as you say, people attending from Good Friday on Easter Saturday and on Easter Sunday and Easter Monday. And yes, Groundhopper weekend for the non-league clubs is a really good idea. Quite a lot at Towlow Town.
Yeah, I mean, all those clubs have obviously benefited from those improved crowds from what they would normally get as well. So you had a big match, Ian, on Saturday. Can you tell the listeners about where you were?
I can. It had a big bearing because the two teams involved were Dunstan in fifth place versus sixth place Bradford Park Avenue, seen as a possible playoff eliminator, I think, in this game. There's still matches to be played out, but it was a vital game, that one. And of course, there's been some important fixtures today. We'll have a look at those and how Dunstan actually got on today as well. But yeah, that was an interesting fixture at the weekend. There was some good football played, and it was an interesting outcome at the end. We'll find out more about that later on.
A lot of local derbies over this weekend, and they brought big crowds as well. I'm just looking at some of the crowds. There was over 2,000 at Gateway Park today for the Blythe Derby, Town against Spartans, and over 3,000 at South Shields for their match against Darlington this afternoon.
Yes, indeed. If I'd been off this afternoon, I would have been at that game, the Blythe Town versus Blythe Spartans. But I was doing a radio programme, and my guest poet today was Wayne Metcalf. That's worth the listen back to.
There's an unashamed plugging there going on, but yes, I'm sure that is worth listening on our list. That's a good thing to remind our listeners, Ian, that if you can't hear the programme live on a Monday night, or any of our programmes, so Ian on a Monday afternoon, me on a Sunday lunchtime, you can always catch it on Nova Radio's excellent Listen Again, because all of our programmes you can find there, and you can play them back any time at all. So there you go. So if you did miss Ian's programme this afternoon, you'll be able to catch that possibly in a day or two, and listen at your enjoyment.
Yes, must admit, I did enjoy the programme this afternoon, but I did miss not being at a football match.
Well, I wasn't at football, Ian. I was over at the cricket. I was there over the weekend for Nova Radio, and unfortunately, there was no play yesterday because of the storm. Storm Dave blew a lot of covers off there and left the pitch and the wicket were damp, so there was no play yesterday at all. Also caused some damage around the ground, and I know our local cricket club just up the West Road there, which we covered during the summer, Benwell Hill, yesterday morning half the wall was blown down, lamppost down, and damage to the covers as well. So Storm Dave certainly played some havoc in the world of cricket, but thankfully we haven't heard any negative things about the non-league football clubs. Right, let's get on with it then. So we've got basically three days to look back on here. We'll start off in the National League, and we'll kick off with that derby in the North West, where Gateshead, wait for this, Ian, Gateshead took 700 fans over to Cumbria. Now, pardon me for saying this, but at times this season, Gateshead have struggled to get 700 fans, home fans, at the International Stadium. So that's quite an achievement, isn't it?
It is. I mean, obviously, with it being the bank holiday, the Easter bank holiday, but that is a fantastic following, isn't it? Gateshead do have good support. It's just sometimes they don't always get the numbers, but they had, I think, 1,546 at the game I was at versus Yeovil. That was the previous match.
Yes, so could Gateshead continue their great form over the Easter weekend? Well, we'll kick off with that match at Carlisle on Friday. They got a very good point. It was Carlisle 0, Gateshead 0. Both sides had the chances to win the game. A magnificent crowd of 8,558. And that result meant Gateshead had picked up 25 points from their last 13 games. After the match, their assistant manager, Louis Story, spoke to the club's social media.
Louis, a busy Easter weekend coming up. First up, a Good Friday trip to Carlisle coming up tomorrow. But first things first, how is everything in the group? How has the sort of the sessions been ahead of what is going to be a big weekend for you now?
Yeah, the training week's been really good. Spirits have been high, as expected, after last week's, combination of great performances and results in the position in the league table that put us in. Them high spirits have also been honed in with real focus and professionalism from the boys, and we've had two real good days of training into the lead up of this game tomorrow. Easter weekend's always an exciting and an entertaining few days of football because the games come thick and fast. Tends to be big crowds and good games. So yeah, we're really looking forward to tomorrow and the weekend.
Yeah, and I know in terms of the Good Friday game going to Carlisle, obviously in terms of the stadium and the crowd and things like that, obviously with the bank holiday weekend, no doubt probably a big following in the away end as well. But I know when, before the Southend game, Rob sort of talked about that almost being a bit of a challenge in itself for the lads to rise to, which obviously did on that occasion. Is it a similar kind of approach to this on that sense as well?
Yeah, for sure. Ultimately, we want the players in the group to enjoy the occasion. Playing away to one of our local rivals. There's no denying how big Carlisle of a football club they are. And there's going to be a great crowd there, and probably, an increased crowd with the Good Friday. Hopefully, we'll bring that tremendous away support that we always do. Probably in good spirits as well, because the performances last week and their support and their noise was tremendous, especially on non-league day, and it was great to see that extra following for the lads and for the football club. So yeah, there's loads to be excited about for tomorrow's game, and we just want to go and relish it and attack it on all fronts, and we will do that our way by trying to impose our game, controlling the controllables, and trying to dominate as many elements of the game as possible.
Yeah, and in terms of the sort of mentality side of things and that approach, I know some people will talk about when you're sort of in the bottom four and you're trying to chase versus when you're out of it and you're trying to create a bit of distance and a bit of a gap between yourselves, and some people will talk about a difference in mentality between that. Is that really anything that's the case for yourself, or is it very much just game by game and at the end of the day you're still trying to get 3 points and win a game of football?
Yeah, it's a balance of all. Ultimately, there is a slight change at times in terms of when you're probably when you're chasing the pack to then when you're leading the pack, or when you're constantly looking forward and above. And we've talked about that in terms of making sure that the stimulus is right. And ultimately, it just comes back to that we don't change our process and we don't change our mentality. The most important game is the next game, which is the one in front of us. That's Carlisle. And, on the back of the last couple of days training, which has been really good and has shown fantastic professionalism from the boys, that's all that matters, and we'll make sure that we hit them optimal heights from a mental stimulus point of view, from a focus point of view, from a physical point of view, and then hopefully that translates into our technical sort of delivery of how we go and play. So yeah, you are human to think about all these different factors, but it's been really good the last couple of days because we've then honed back that focus, and it's ultimately going back to what we can control, and that's the way that we play.
And finally, really, how are things on the sort of fitness front at the minute? Obviously with all the Tuesday, Saturday, back-to-back-to-back-to-back games you've been having, probably having nearly a sort of week's gap in between games, probably feels like an age since you've had a game last, but how is everyone just faring on that fitness run at the minute?
Yeah, everyone's faring okay. Joe and Ty are getting closer, which is great. Two unbelievable talents that we want back a part of the group as quick as possible when appropriate for their recovery, because they add so much quality, their personality, and one of the main drivers of the group in terms of how we want to play. It's been fantastic and really enjoyable from a coaching point of view to actually have some training sessions which aren't just a match day minus one or a recovery after a game. So it's been great to have a little bit of a deload, have a little bit of a, rest and recovery, and then start to then implement our game plan and our preparation for the game with a bit more time and not having to condense it as much into maybe one session or 2 hours on the pitch. So we're all in a good place. We're all confident and feeling good, obviously, because of the form and the performances, the togetherness, the feel from the fans and the home games. But we're determined more than ever to make sure that we follow that up and that we don't get complacent, and that essentially we're after relentless improvement, which is where can we go next? How high can we go? How many points can we achieve? How well can we play against the best teams in the league?
Yeah, and just to touch on Levi as well, off the back of his sort of injury early on against Yeovil, obviously he was on crutches just after the game. Rob said he hoped at the time it wouldn't be anything too massive. Is there anything really to update on him at the minute?
No, not at this moment in time. I think we're still in a very much a position that we're assessing and seeing how it reacts after kind of being in the gym and working with Fraser and Rob and Ange. So a timeline can't be dictated put out there at this moment in time, but we are hoping that if it reacts to some of the rehab work that he's doing over the next couple of days, that hopefully he can be involved before the end of the season.
Louis Story there, reflecting on a very good point for Gates said over in Cumbria on Good Friday. What did Mark Hughes think of it? Let's hear his post-match verdict.
Mark, a draw against Gateshead, how do you assess that one?
Yeah, again, we could have won comfortably, obviously, with the amount of play we had and the chances created at something like 18, 19 shots. Their keeper looked a good keeper today, made some good saves. Obviously, had a goal chalked off that was clearly onside. They will argue they had a similar situation as well. So, overall, in terms of what we produced and what the opposition did, then yeah, we should have won the game comfortably, but you can get days like that. The conditions didn't help, in fairness. So very blustery. The wind was changing direction all afternoon, so it was really difficult to have the progressive play that we'd normally have. But I thought the lads stuck at it, tried to cope with the conditions, created chances, like I said, and on another day, you win that quite comfortably.
Plenty of chances, as you mentioned there. What do you put that down to, of just not being able to find the net today?
No, you get days like that. It's football, it's sport, it's not a given just because you create a chance that it's taken. The opposition will try and affect that. Keeper saved them on occasions as well. So sometimes you just have to acknowledge that today wasn't going to be our day in terms of winning the game, but we take a point and move on to the next one very quickly.
Is it still pleasing to create as much chances as you did today?
Yeah, I thought we played well. I thought it showed good attitude to it. Restricted them to very few opportunities early in both halves. Was probably their best period, and it was very, very minor in terms of any pressure that they were able to sustain, whereas we were constantly trying to affect them in a manner that would get us the goal that we were looking for. We all felt after the game that if we'd have scored the first, then we quite possibly could have got up to the Boston amount. But once it be, we just needed that breakthrough, needed that little bit of craft and guile just to get that first goal. And then, I think everybody in the ground would have thought, we probably would have won the game comfortably at that point.
Was Alex Gilliard a big part of being able to create so many chances, because he was always there to sort of break up their counter-attacks and regain the ball and give it to the other players?
Yeah, some good performances today. Gilly, once again, I was thinking about resting him. Obviously, he was a doubt before the game, but obviously, Crickey has an issue with his knee, unfortunately, and that flared up this morning, so I had to change a number of things I was hoping to do just because it's a quick turnaround, obviously, over this weekend. So still trying to just protect players, but I didn't know have those options today, unfortunately.
Hugh worked so hard up front, but just still waiting to find that first goal. Will that be so crucial for him?
I thought he worked really, really hard. A lot of energy, a lot of mileage. I think you're right. If he'd been able to take the chance that he had, once again, though, the keeper stood up really well and made it difficult for him, got his angles right, so it wasn't an easy chance, but I think he'll look back and think, well, maybe I should just put my foot through it. We see him doing that in training, and he's got a hell of a kick on him, so I think when you're looking for your first goal, you're a little bit too careful with the chance, and sometimes you're better off just whacking it.
Morgan with a big intervention in the second half to clear one off the line. How big a moment?
Yeah, one of their few chances, and Morgan once again was there just to clear the danger. That's his job.
Ephraim, home debut today. How has he settled in since he's come into the club?
Yeah, he showed up okay. Difficult for him. Like I said, I think the conditions were difficult for everybody. The opposition included, I think. It was very difficult to get the ball down. It was blowing around, and you've got to have good moments and make the most of them. So he's got potential. We're pleased that he's here. He's a good option for me. But he'll want to be more involved, I'm sure, next time.
You managed to get Charlie off the bench to try and make an impact. Good to see him back out there after he had a little setback.
Yeah, well, we wanted his experience. We just felt we're lacking Luke and Georgie down the middle. So we're a little bit threadbare in terms of what we can do and move people on board. Obviously, we can play like Regan down the middle, but it's been so effective on that left-hand side of late. I didn't really want to move him from that area of the field. So, we're a little bit compromised, but we've got guys that can come in hopefully on Monday.
Still a bit of force in the really good form we take from this last couple of games into Morgan on Monday.
Yeah, well, we've seen their results, obviously, at the fantastic results.
Yeah, sorry about the poor quality on the end of that interview, but you got the gist of what Mark Hughes thought of that draw with Gateshead. So that was on Good Friday. Let's continue our look at the National League on Good Friday. Now, Hartlepool, what a nightmare they had on Tuesday night, was it? They got beat 7-0 by Wealdstown, and by all accounts, it was one of the worst performances in the club's recent history. So they went to Scunthorpe on Good Friday, certainly looking to get a bit of pride back, and they achieved that. It finished Scunthorpe 0, Hartlepool 0, so a good bounce back for Nicky Featherstone's side. Let's see what the manager made of it.
Nicky, from 7 on Tuesday to keeping a clean sheet, that'll do wonders for the confidence defensively, won't it?
Yeah, but like we mentioned the other day, that before Tuesday we had the fourth best defensive record in the league, so it's not a thing that happens a lot where we concede loads and loads of goals. But yeah, like I say, really proud of that group after Tuesday to come and put on a clean sheet and a defensive display like they have today against a really top team in the division.
And we really showed why we had such a good defensive record. You mentioned it was the fourth best in the league at that point. I mean, every ball that came into the box was headed clear by Parks and Coogan, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's got to be the standard, though, and it has been the standard pretty much all season, to be fair, in terms of defensively. We've fallen short a bit going forward in the season, but usually we're quite reliable at the back, and we do keep a lot of clean sheets, to be fair. So, yeah, to respond like we did from Tuesday, that's the bar that they've set, that's the standard they've set in those terms defensively. Can we be a bit better on the ball going forward?
The big surprise, I think, for everyone when the team news came out was the three attacking changes from Tuesday. How do you feel they did, especially Verdane, who hadn't started a game since October?
No, like I said, this wasn't a game for Tyrese, Reedy or Charlie today. This was a game for... We was going to be pragmatic. We was going to be hard to beat. We was going to stay in the game for 65, 70 minutes, and then we was going to make the changes that we made to try and win us the game. And it was... I could have changed in a full 11 from Tuesday, but with what we had available, we just felt like this would have given us the best chance possible to get a result.
Do you feel like we showed a real different side to ourselves today as well?
No, not really. Like I say, I think like that defensive display has been on show pretty much all season, to be fair. We've got to be better going forward. We've brought players in to affect the front, the forward line, and Tyrese, we brought him in to make better decisions in the final third, and we've just fallen short again this evening.
And you've mentioned about wanting to keep it at 0-0 for as long as possible until you could bring on the changes. Were you a little bit disappointed at half-time by maybe the lack of attacking threat in the first half?
Obviously, yeah, but we're back off, like I said before, we're coming off the back of a 7-0 defeat, so like we was never going to come here and play vintage football. Yes, we could have been better in possession, 100%. Said the same thing to the players, can we be better in possession? When we turned the ball over, we've got to find an orange shirt. We didn't do it well enough in the first half. But that is pretty much how I expected the game to go today. We was never, ever going to come here and dominate the ball. The lads was in a tough place, and what we've done is we've We've come to Scunthorpe, who are 5th or 6th in the league. We've kept a clean sheet and we could have nicked it on the break. But, yeah, we was never going to have all the ball. It was a case of giving up possession today.
And what was it like in the dressing room at full time? Because the lads must have been chuffed with the performance and getting over the line, because especially the back line, they did suffer a lot of chances and a lot of that, and we've seen, I think it was Jay Benn, really giving everything on the pitch. So to hear that final whistle go and know that all the defensive efforts were for the point must have been nice in there at full time.
No, not really. It was quite subdued in the dressing room after, because of the chances that we had at the end. So I think they felt like on reflection of the game, we've done enough to get a draw on the way we defended, like, throughout the game. But I think they're disappointed that they haven't gone and won it, because they had a few moments later on where we could have nicked it.
Another tough one on Monday. What does this weekend look like? Is it just full-on recovery?
No, recovery. It's planning for Monday. There's a game plan to execute. There's probably a few changes because of the schedule we've had recently. So, yeah, just as normal a normal preparation would be, we'll be in training and we'll be preparing for Rochdale.
And nice to start this run of really tough games that you've mentioned, unbeaten.
Yeah, I'm not looking further than Rochdale now or further than today. It was about the response, the character shown, and, a team that was playing for each other, and they've executed a game plan really well today.
Cheers, Nicky.
Cheers, mate.
Nicky Featherstone there, quite pleased with that. It was important to bounce back, wasn't it, from that 7-0 defeat, and they did at Scunthorpe. So that game watched, by the way, by a crowd of 5,503. How did York City do? Well, another important win for them. They won 1-0 at Boston. Only goal of the game came from a new name to me. Ben Brooks was the scorer with a back post effort on 48 minutes. But nevertheless, three important points. The York City manager is Stuart Maynard.
Stuart, massive win here at Boston. It's been a place that not many York teams have come in the past and got a result. We've done that today.
Yeah, I got told before the game 30 years before they come in. So they've probably never won here. So it's another one ticked off for the fans to break the team that's kind of a little bit of their tough spot when you come into these games. But look, it's brilliant. The lads are absolutely incredible today, and the scoreline probably doesn't give us the justice of what we play, the way we play today. I thought we were excellent today, and if we'd won this game by 3 or 4, I don't think it could have been taken away for us in against a tough team. They're in really good form. I think Paul's done a great job here, and I think they're going to be a team that's going to be right in the mix come next season.
Kind of just took the words out of my mouth for the next question. Boston are a team that have looked like one of the best sides in the division since Paul Hurst went in there. It's been evident of that of all the teams they've beaten. Not many teams come here and get a result. We've managed to grind in and get that 1-0. Like you said, it could have been maybe even been more.
Yeah, brilliant. Clean sheet again as a group. The lads absolutely emptied the tank again today. So vital that we make sure that we recover and be ready for Monday. But look, it's a really pleasing performance, and for the fans to give them another memory at another ground. And they were incredible today, the way they kept backing and getting behind the team from minute one all the way to the end. So look, really proud of the team today, and really proud of the fans as well and the club.
It was evident as well just across the entire game how much the lads gave it everything, like a couple of bits of cramp towards the end there as well. How did everyone fare coming through the game? It looked a tough one.
Yeah, look, everyone seems fine at the minute. We'll be in recovery now for the next 2 days and preparing for Alton, and we've got to make sure that we can be as fresh as we can come to that game Monday. And the bank holiday weekends, they're really tough to go on the Friday now and then go on the Monday. But look, we've got to dig deep and find something from somewhere, and we're going to need the fans. They're going to be the 12th man. We need to make sure on Monday that the stadium's absolutely rocking from minute one, so that we can feel that energy. The players need to feel the energy on the pitch, and they'll find it from somewhere, and that's what we're going to need come Monday. It's going to be a really tough game.
Ben Brooks picked his moment to get a goal, and a crucial goal at a good time as well in the second half. What was your advantage of that? Obviously it looked like a decent save at first, and obviously managed to get on the end of it on the rebound.
Yeah, we said at half time we need to be calm and play with composure. We come in at half time and a little bit frustrated and a little bit disappointed, because we've played so well but not got in the lead, and we create some big moments. And I think that was probably Brooks's hardest finish, and look, it's a huge credit to him. He keeps getting in the slots, and it's what we say, get inside that back post and you give yourself an opportunity of scoring goals, and he's done it today. And what a great finish with his right foot.
looked like Boston maybe had an equaliser straight, almost straight after. I think half the crowd had thought it had gone in. I'm not too sure what happened, but Harrison ended up with the ball. Nevertheless, what was your view?
It's set piece, which they're very good at. They're a big physical team that put it on you, and I thought we dealt with it all afternoon, and we knew that they would have a moment, but we knew we needed to put our bodies on the line, and I think that's what happened. I think it came off the crossbar, bounced down, and then another little half block, and then it fell nicely to Harrison, and you need those little bits of luck. But look, I'm delighted for the team. Clean sheet, another clean sheet, which is massive for us.
I was going to say, like, apart from that chance, it seemed to be relatively calm across the entire back line. There was not really any clear-cut chances that they had. Harrison had a kind of quiet afternoon, I guess.
I think we controlled the game. I think the first probably 5 minutes, maybe eight, I think they come out of the traps, and huge credit to them. We knew they would, with a lot of energy, and try and get after us, and they did that. And I think after that, I think we managed the game with the ball really well, and you could see their players cramping at the end as well. So I think it just goes to show how much that we had control within the game with the ball, which is brilliant.
Brooks's goal is our 107th in the league this season. That beats a record set in 1928, I think it is. The greatest York City goal scoring team of all time. Another record broken. That's a big one, though, isn't it?
It's huge. The lads deserve all the credit. They've performed to such a high level all season. The goals that we've scored, some of them have been like great to watch. Some of the team moves, some of the individual goals. We've scored all types of goals, but it's an incredible achievement to score the amount of goals that we have in a campaign. And all that matters now, though, is that end goal of us trying to get over the line to get promoted, and that's the only record that we really want come the end of the season. But look, it's a huge credit to the group, and look, that's all that matters. That last game of the season, we're in that position, like I've said, and I said it to the group again in there. It doesn't matter that we're top of the league at the minute. That nothing matters until that last game, and when that last game's over at the end of the season, we need to make sure that we're top.
And I think what we've seen, even just from today's results, with Morecambe winning at Rochdale, anyone can beat anyone in this division. You know, we obviously got a 1-0 win at Morecambe, but it was in very much in the last minute. Heading to Altrincham then, how can that kind of game fare up? What can we expect from that kind of game?
I think they're tough, they're resilient, I think they're hard to break down, and we saw that at their place even when they went down to 10 men, which I think within that game when we watched it back, it kind of helped them, it forced them into a low block, but they're a real threat on the counter, and they've got a lot of talent within their squad, and they scored a late equaliser, but it just goes to show the togetherness and character that we have within our group and the fan base to keep going all the way to the end, and then we score in, I think it was the 96th minute, literally from kickoff, and that's that togetherness and real belief from everyone, and that's what we're going to need again from the fans on Monday. Believe and stick together all the way to the end, because we know that it's going to be a really tough game.
I know it's cliche, but we keep saying that every game's a cup final. How important will the fans be to what we do on Monday?
The fans have been massive all season, and they've paid their hard-earned money travelling up and down the country, and it showed what a massive football club we are the other day, to me especially, and how proud I am stood here with them backing us as a group, queuing at 3-4 in the morning to get tickets for the final. That says it shows that as a football club that the fans are absolutely massive, and they're the heartbeat of the football club, and they have been all season. I think we've sold out all the away ends now between now and the end of the season, and we're going to need them, and I thought today they were the 12th man once again and backed us all the way to the end.
Thanks for your time, Stuart.
Cheers, guys. All the best.
Yeah, Stuart Maynard, what a win that was at Boston on Good Friday. So, important games today in the National League, and Ian's going to tell you all about them.
Yes, I have to use my imagination a bit because I was in the studio when they were happening. But I have got the score lines from Easter Monday.
That's important.
Today, the 6th of April 2026. Well, what a fantastic win for Gateshead today at the International Stadium. It was Gateshead FC 2, Scunthorpe United 0. Now, Scunthorpe are high up there in 5th place. So, wow, what a result.
Yeah, great result.
Bradley Nicholson, who scored for Gateshead in the 22nd minute. I'm sure he used to play for at Scunthorpe. And they got a second goal through Keaton Ward from the penalty spot. And that was 2-0 in 51 minutes. Ross Barrow was sent off. Maybe it might have been the incident that led to the penalty, that the reason why he went off was taken off the field by the referee.
I think it was, Ian. Yes, I just read that before coming into the studio tonight. So, yeah, Keaton Ward scored a penalty and their guy got sent off, yeah.
So they were down to 10 men, 2-0 down, and Gateshead with a fine win today. And, yeah, well done to them.
So just a minute's reflection on this. So basically, we spent most of the winter, every time we spoke about Gateshead, it was a Gateshead defeat. They lost 16 in a row, which is amazing, really. And if you lose 16 in a row, you're probably relegated. The bad dressing room and all that sort of stuff. But since then, Ian, they've now got 28 points from the last 14 games. It's incredible, isn't it, the turnaround. And full credit to Rob Elliott and his staff and the players, of course.
Well, I think Rob Elliott obviously knows how to motivate his players, get the best out of them. Plus, I think one or two of the players that have come in have adapted and done a really good job. I mean, we mentioned players there, Bradley Nicholson. He's a long throw expert. We've got Harry Chapman, who's come in. He's always a constant threat. Yeah. He was the best player, along with David Ferguson, 2 weeks ago when we saw Gateshead beat Yeovil 2-1. They are a good team. And they only, I think, need about... There's three games left, I would say. Three more points, and they'll be safe. Probably two, actually, but they will be looking to win one of those games to make sure. Probably win more than that, the way they're playing. Tremendous. So we've got some other games as well. This was a good result at Victoria Park. Hartlepool United 0, Rochdale 0. Now, it's probably left Hartlepool too much to do to get into the playoffs, but it actually helps York City, and York had a fine win at the LNER Stadium today. The sellout crowd against Altrincham. It was York City 2, Altrincham 1, and it was the Alti that took the lead. There was Josh Knowles on 36, 0-1. Ollie Banks, though, with the equaliser 2 minutes late on 38 minutes. But a very late winner for York City, deep into stoppage time, almost the last kick of the game. Malachy Fagan-Walcott on 90-plus 4 minutes to make the final score. Minstermen 2, Alti 1.
I'd imagine the York City fans would have been delirious at the end of that game, Ian. It could be the real defining moment of the title race between themselves and Rochdale, that late winner. But, yeah, real drama.
Tremendous, actually. And it's put them in the driving position. And you're looking at the league table now, the National League. That's Monday the 6th of April, Easter Monday, in first place. It is York City. They played 101 points, 69 goal difference. They're in the automatic promotions place as it stands. In second, they've played well all season, haven't they? Rochdale have played 99 points and 45 goal difference. 2 points between the clubs now, and York City have a better goal difference too. In third, Carlisle United played 43. They've got 86 points and 29 goal difference. Fourth, Boreham Wood played 43, 81 points and 30 goal difference. Fifth, the Scunthorpe United have played 43, 78 points and a 15 goal difference. Sixth, Forest Green have played 43, 75 points, 24 goal difference. And in seventh, the last of the playoff places, Southend United have played 41, 71 points and 30 goal difference. Teams second to seventh are in the playoff spots. In ninth now, Hartlepool United, staying in a steady ninth, played 42. They've got 62 points, but a minus 2 goal difference. They have... Indeed, I think they've got one game in hand on most of the teams above them, not Southend. They've got a game in hand on Hartlepool. They're on 62 points. They can get a possible 16 points if they win all of their games there, so they're not out of it. But in 18th now is Gateshead, a 7th from the bottom. They are on 43 played, 47 points, minus 32 goal difference. The team actually in fourth bottom are Brackley, they're 21st. They've played 43, they've got 39 points and also minus 32 goal difference. So it's an 8-point difference between the teams, and if you work it out, there's 9 points to play for for both sides. So Gateshead really in pole position to out of trouble. I think they just need maybe and one more win and that would be enough.
Yeah, fantastic. And just the other result from today, we mentioned them third in the table. Carlisle drew 2-2 at Morecambe. Gwyn Evans for Morecambe on 32. Regan Linney and David Ajaboy put them 2-1 ahead. And then an own goal, Harvey McAdam own goal on 82. So share the spoils, but Carlisle are, of course, just about secured, I think, in their playoff place, haven't they?
Carlisle have done well. She missed that one out. I've got it right at the top of my sheet there. When I was writing them down, I missed that, but it's there. And yeah, they're doing well. Morecambe actually beat Rochdale on Saturday.
Massive result, wasn't it?
That was unexpected. That helped York City. Didn't actually help Morecambe very much either, looking at the league table, but they certainly did York City the power of good there. So, yes, by beating Rochdale. What a result. We have some fixtures coming up now, and these are all on Saturday. And here they are, it's the 11th of April. And these two fixtures kick off at 12:30, Boreham Wood versus Hartlepool United, and also 12:30 kick-off for Tamworth versus York City, 3 p.m. kick-offs for Aldershot Town versus Gateshead, and Carlisle United versus Sutton United.
Right, National League North, and so let's go back to Good Friday. A couple of local derbies for our sides. We'll start off with the Brewery Field, where league leaders, Championship Tracing South Shields were playing there. It finished one apiece, Paul Blackett against his old club on 44, but that was cancelled out by Corey McEwen on 72. So the points shared in front of a good crowd of 2,133. Let's hear some post-match reaction. We'll hear from Tommy Miller in a few minutes' time. But first of all, the South Shields boss is Ian Watson.
Gaffer, we take a point away from today's Good Friday game against Spennymoor. How did you see it?
Yeah, there was loads that I liked about the performance. I thought we started the game really well. I thought in particular first half we controlled a lot of the game. And then, yeah, we got our goal, which was a really good movement. Really good ball in from Sykesy, good movement from Blackie. And yeah, I thought like from what we asked the boys to do, I thought they carried it out really well. And then second half, obviously, the opposition come out with like a little bit more intensity and they changed the shape a little bit. So I think it took us maybe 5-10 minutes to kind of get to grips with that a little bit. But yeah, I thought second half we were good again and we created like loads of moments where we entered their box. I think we hit the post 2 or 3 times and then Brad pulled off a couple of good saves. So all I can ask is that we try and keep moving the ball and we try and enter their box and we try and create goal scoring opportunities, and we did. And the goal against really disappointing. Like, I don't really think we gave them anything in the game other than that one moment. I felt like we controlled all the game really, and then that one moment cost us. And it's a moment where we switch off, and like, obviously fair play to them, it's a well taken goal, it's a good run from the boy, but we just have to be better in them moments and we have to make sure that them moments don't happen, because it's just like the ball going through the middle of the pitch and them getting a 1v1 with our goalkeeper just isn't really acceptable. So we'll address it, we'll look back and we'll improve from it.
Yeah, it's exactly what I was going to ask you. I mean, just in terms of how we control the game, but we literally did just give them that one moment in the game, so that must be disappointing.
Yeah, that's what's frustration, and that's why it hurts a little bit. Like, obviously, going off the performance, like, I'm really pleased with loads of stuff that I've seen in the performance, but because of where we are in the season and how tight the league table is, that's when the emotion comes in and it really hurts, because you need to win games. It's as simple as that, really. But I have to live by what I speak and the information that I give the boys, and that's performance based. And even in these moments where the result goes against us, we have to find the positives and where the performance was really good. And as I say, I thought there was a lot of moments where the performance was really, really good.
Before the game, we identified obviously quite a few of their key players, but we know that they have quite a big aerial presence up top. How do you think how the boys dealt with nullifying their threat?
Yeah, I thought we dealt with everything really well, to be honest. I can't remember them getting many actions on our goal, to be honest. I don't really think, other than when obviously Tommy's came out to try and rescue the ball, I can't really think of any moments where they had on our goal, set pieces, long throw, things like that. But
I don't really feel that they'd hurt us. So I thought we defended the moments really well. Like Glenn's been like an incredible centre forward for like a decade now, and he's still there and he's still unbelievable. So the fact that we deal with that, we deserve a lot of credit. Our defenders do. Obviously Ramshaw's been one of the best players in the league for the last 10 years as well, and he still makes unbelievable runs and he still really wants it. So we have to defend them players and them actions a lot, and we do it really well, and that's probably what makes it more disappointing that we concede the goal that we do.
Yeah, and you've spoke about it yourself. Obviously the league table's tight, but we take a point away from today's game. It's something that we can build on Monday with the tight schedule that's coming up.
Yeah, it's game by game basis. Like I think there's going to be a lot of ups and downs still, even with the minimum amount of games there is to play. And the league's so competitive and the league's so tough that you can't really call any results. All we can do is control what we can control, and that is to make sure that we come in tomorrow, we recover really well, and then we get the boys in a mindset ready for Darlington Monday, because they're a really good side and it's going to be another really, really tough game that we're going to have to work so hard if we want to get anything from.
And just to look at the half-time substitution, obviously Jasper Sheik come on, obviously Wilk back, which is really good. To the expense of Watto, how's he doing it at half-time?
Yeah, so he got a knock in the ribs. It was a collision, took the wind out of his sails, and then he was just a bit sheepish coming off the pitch. So it was the right thing to do to bring Jasper in, and obviously Jasper's been chomping at the bit to get back in as well. And it's credit to Tommy how well he's done to keep Jasper out, because Jasper's been such an incredible goalkeeper for us, and he still is obviously an incredible goalkeeper for us. So it was good to see Jasper back out there, and we've just got to see what Tommy's like tomorrow. And then we're blessed with two really, really good goalkeepers, and we want to have them both for the running.
And Darlow at home next, like you've said. I know that I'll ask you if you're looking forward to that game, but I know the response that you'll give us. But ultimately for you, like Mags has told us in an interview before, it's just the next training session, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm really looking forward to the game. I'm looking forward to all the games, and I'm looking forward to the games because of the group of people that we've got in the change room, and how brave they are on the ball, and how they want to play. And like, I'm really sort of adamant on the style of football that I want to see and the style of football that I enjoy, and the boys carry that out, and we play it and we have loads of the ball, we pass the ball really well, the boys have loads of freedom in the final third, and I think we're an exciting team to watch, and I look forward to every game. But we've just got to make sure that we do both sides of the game really, really well for 95 or 100 minutes, because that's what it's going to require.
And our fans at home have demonstrated before that they can make the noise, be the 12th man. What call do you after them for Monday's game?
Firstly, I want to say thank you for sort of the message what they sent me when I wasn't here. That meant a lot to me, like it really meant a lot. Obviously, it's been like the hardest time I've had in my life, and to know that the fans were kind of supporting, and obviously the staff that I've got are unbelievable and the players are unbelievable. So I just want to thank my staff and the players and the supporters for that show of support. It really meant a lot. On Monday we just like need to make it as hostile, as loud, and just let the boys know that we're really behind you, and we're all in this together, and there's a few games left and we're going to give it absolutely everything we possibly can, and then whatever happens at the end, we know that we've gave absolutely everything, and as long as we know that, then that's a powerful thing.
Tommy, a really hard-earned point this afternoon. Were you pleased with your lads' efforts?
Yeah, obviously delighted to get a point, you know, in the end. South Shields are a very good football team, you know, we all know that. They like having the ball. They caused us a few issues first half, you know, we addressed a few things at half-time and made a change. You know, Cam Selkeld had to come off with an injury, so we brought Ben Bales on and we just went with an extra body in midfield and changed the back line, and we contained them better in the second half.
That injury to Cam Selkeld, could that have been a penalty, possibly?
Well, I mean, he's hit his hand, he's gone with his hand, so obviously the ref's seeing that, so if he'd have gone with his head, then maybe he's, because he has been took out, but yeah, he's handballed it, so I can see why the ref gave a free kick.
In terms of the style of the performance today, it was a lot different to what you had to do on Tuesday night to get the result, wasn't it, in terms of the tactics, the organisation?
That's right, you know, we knew they were going to have a lot of the ball, so it's how we sort of try and win it back, you know, sometimes we had to let them have it, you know, until they come into certain areas of the field, and that's when we engage them. And sometimes we started high to try and stop them at source. But they're a tough team to play against, you know, they play that way, they train day in, day out, and they work on stuff and patterns, and they've got good rotation, so we had to be very disciplined. Yeah. But it's a fantastic point for us.
Yeah, that was one of the things that stood out, was the patience the lads had to just stick to the plan.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we said before the game, listen, there's going to be spells where you're not going to have the ball. So just make sure we don't get frustrated, you know, let them have the ball in front of us, and then when it comes forward, let's engage, and then can we break on them? In the second half, I thought we had a few spells with the ball and caused them a few problems on the break as well going forward. So, yeah, I'm obviously delighted.
By and large, in that first half, we did match them, didn't we? And it was disappointing, the nature of the goal, I guess.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were slow to get out to the cross. You know, we didn't stop the cross. And Blackie's just getting across the front of our defender, and he's stooped to header. It's a great header, you know, and you can't give space like that to Blackie because he's a goal scorer. He's proven at this level, and disappointing for us.
But after that, you see, the second half, we gave them much more of a fright up front, and we got that goal. It was a wonderfully worked goal as well.
It was a great goal. You know, we went man for man second half. You know, Wield on the number 8, it was causing us a few issues in the midfield because he was playing sort of just behind the front, and we didn't know whether to go with him or not, so we brought an extra midfielder on, like I said, but our goal was brilliant. You know, Mackenzie Heaney's picked up the ball, and it's a fantastic pass, you know, through the middle of their defence. Corey's made a great run, you know, and he's had a lot of time to think about it, but the way Corey's playing, you know, the confidence he's playing with at the minute, he slots it home, and it was a great goal.
Was it just a reward for us as well? Because, as you say, you made the changes at half-time. It felt like a braver, more aggressive approach in the second half.
It was. You know, it was very brave. You know, at times we were 3-for-3 at the back, you know, they kept 3 forwards up and we were man for man, you know, but we had to go for it. We had to change something at half time, and fortunately it worked. You know, they had a couple of opportunities as well. You know, we got a little bit lucky when they hit the post, and then there was a cross come shot which hit the bar or the back post area, but we dug in, you know, and it's a fantastic point, like I keep saying.
And really useful in terms of the broader picture for us as well. It extends the unbeaten run, and it's just adding to the excitement at the end of this season, though.
That's right. You know, we're on a fantastic run. You know, that's, what, 17 points from 21. You know, it's unbelievable what the lads have given us, you know, as a management team. But we've got to continue. You know, it doesn't stop now. We've got 4 more games left, and we need to go to Scarborough on Monday, you know, recover well and go again.
How difficult is it to recover? You know, if he's got such a short space of time, and against another side who are going to be really difficult opposition.
Yeah, it's the same for them. So yeah. It's going to be a quick turnaround. But we've got a squad, you know, we may have to utilise that. You know, we'll see what the lads are like tomorrow, you know, in terms of legs and how they feel and any knocks and stuff like that and any concerns. But we'll go again Monday with a plan, and hopefully we can come away with a point.
There you go, that was Mark Simpson asking the questions. Tommy Miller after that draw between Spennymoor and South Shields. It was a derby elsewhere as well. Darlington took on Scarborough at Blackwell Meadows. Late drama here. Richie Bennett had put Scarborough ahead on 75 minutes. Stephen Walker had already missed a penalty. Kieran Wellagy with an own goal had put Darlington back on level terms just 2 minutes later. And then a late, late winner on 90 plus 4, a Will Thornton header, giving John O'Greening's side an important win and a massive blow to Darlington, whose manager is Steve Watson. He spoke after the game to Ray Simpson.
Steve, a dramatic day, but unfortunately, from our point of view, a sickening winner.
Awful, yeah, awful feeling. It was an awful game, you know. But once I got outside and started doing the warm up, I just knew it was going to be a really tough game to get the ball down and play. But I think both teams tried. But I think
Steve, a dramatic day, but unfortunately, from our point of view, a sickening winner.
Defensively, won it.
Awful, yeah, awful feeling.
Like we mentioned the other day,
it was an awful game.
Before Tuesday, we had the fourth best defensive record.
You know, once I got outside and started doing the warm up, I just knew it was going to be a really tough game to get the ball down and play. But I think both teams tried.
Really proud of that.
But I think both teams probably got more joy just being direct. And it was just fine lines, wasn't it? It was.
And we really
give a penalty
why
away.
We had
Rory's
a good defensive
very groggy at the moment.
The best in the league at that point.
But you know, Liam came on, and he's a Darlow lad, and what a dream for him.
Yeah, that's got
to come on and save a penalty. And to be honest with you, made a very good save in the second half as well. Keeper had a couple of saves to make, but ultimately it was a very even game, which was decided on fine lines and decisions. And that's where we lost the game.
We must mention Liam. I mean, there's the lad. He's been with us many times this season. He's highly been needed from the bench. There was a bit of a scare at one away game, but today it was clear he was going to have to come on. What did you say to him?
Just enjoy it. No, he's not. He's trained with quite a lot, as Liam McGraw has. But you know, he's obviously it's a huge step up in standard for him, and he did great. You know, like as I say, that's something that'll be with him for the rest of his life. His debut for Darlow, his team, and saving a penalty in what was a really important game. And to be honest with with you for Liam as much as anybody else. We should have came out of the game with something.
We had available.
Yeah, we conceded a late goal there from a set piece. Well, two set pieces, really, a free kick and a corner.
Yeah, I thought there was some really strange decisions out there today. No problem with the penalty they got, but I don't think any of the free kicks that led to their goals were free kicks. And it's really important on a day like this that you get them right. But that's not.
Yeah,
that's not why the ball ended up in the back of our net. That happened because of our really poor play. And
it's not a thing, you know, you
can say what you want about set players and things like that, but it's concentration levels and it's real desire, and if you get that wrong, especially the last kick of the game, you know, that's what can happen. And it was such a bad blow for us.
Ball that came into the box was headed clear by,
you know, we've got to, it's hard,
it's got to be the standard though,
and we've got to believe we can go and get some Monday. Now we've got 4 games left. We probably need to win 3 of them.
Going forward,
again,
season,
you know, it's our doing.
Usually we're quite reliable.
If you just said at the start of the season, you know, you've got 3 games, you probably need to win 3 games at the end of the season to make a playoff spot. That sounds good to me. But listen, that doesn't paper over the cracks of the 2 goals that we conceded today. You know, really, really, really disappointing. Yeah.
But nevertheless, Dave, we're still 7th. We're still in the playoff positions. Other clubs must be feeling the pressure around us as well, because a couple of them have dropped points behind us today.
Yeah, look, I'm not standing here thinking, I'm honest enough to say, you know, I'm not standing here thinking we should have 3 points, but we certainly should have come out of the game with something. I don't think there was much between the two teams, apart from, you know, we don't tend to get free headers. We don't tend to get people knocking off, and unfortunately for us today, that's where we've been undone.
Well, now let's bounce back on Wonder at Shields.
Absolutely. Now listen, football's about the next game, you know, and you know, it's not a tactical thing today, and it's not a shape thing. It's individuals making mistakes at the most crucial of times. But as I say, that's not going to help us win on Monday now. We've got to puff our chests out again. Shields are a fantastic side, we know that, but they're beatable, as every team in this league is. They got a draw thing today against Spenny, who are doing really well. So we've got to go there, and we've got to have a right go, because we need to win games now. You know, we need to win games. So it starts with the mentality on Monday has to be, we go and try and beat Shields at their place, which we've done before. I know they're different personnel now and a little bit of a different animal, but we've done it before. You know, we can't go and set out now to think we'll try and nick something and we'll try and be hard to beat. You know, we have to go and try and win at least 3 games and see where that takes us. That has to be our mentality. The lads can't feel sorry for themselves. Have to learn from your mistakes and get going again Monday.
Yeah, Steve Watson there with Ray Simpson. So that was the games on Good Friday. Spennymoor 1, South Shields 1, and Darlington 1, Scarborough 2. So on to today. And once again, Ian, a couple of tasty local derbies.
Well, Easter Monday today, that's the 6th of April. These played this afternoon. Well, I have to say, what a weekend for Scarborough Athletic. Another win for them. They'd bound 2 wins against County Durham sides. First defeat in Darlington at Blackwell Meadows, 1-2. And they defeated Spennymoor Town 1-0 with the only goal of the game scored by Sam Walker on 71 minutes. What a result that was. It certainly helps them in their playoff push. At the First Cloud Arena today, a local derby. Maybe not the result we were all expecting, unless you're a die-hard Quakers fan. It was South Shields 0, Darlington FC 1. Once again, it was that man that used to play for South Shields, Cedric Main, who did the damage with the goal in the 25th minute, which proved to be decisive. Final score was Mariners 0, Quakers 1. So how does that affect the National League North tables? Well, in first place is Fylde AFC. They played 43, 94 points, and 56 goal difference. I've got to say now that it looks, barring a miracle, that they are going to win automatic promotion. But South Shields won't give up. They're in second. They have 42 points, 42 played, 88 points and 51 goal difference. So they cannot be caught by the teams below them. They're guaranteed a playoff berth, and it looks like a home playoff berth. In third, Kidderminster Harriers have played 42, 75 points and 16 goal difference. Fourth, Macclesfield have had a good season. They've played 41, 73 points and 17 goal difference. How about this, though, in fifth, moving up, Scarborough Athletic, they've played 43, 69 points and